Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Thomas Cook India Limited Q1 FY20 earnings conference call hosted by IIFL Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhijit Akella from IIFL Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Mohsin. Ladies and gentlemen, very good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on the Q1 FY20 post-results conference call of Thomas Cook India Limited. My name is Abhijit Akella. I'm the mid-caps analyst at IIFL, and it's my pleasure to introduce the senior management team of the Thomas Cook Group who are here with us to discuss the results. We'll begin the call with opening remarks by Mr. Madhavan Menon, Chairman and Managing Director, following which we'll open up the call for a Q&A session. I'd now like to hand the call over to Mr. Menon to take it forward. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, let me just sort of introduce the team that is a part of this call. I have Mahesh Iyer, who is the CEO of Thomas Cook India. I have Vishal Suri, who is the Managing Director of SOTC. I believe Mr. Deepak Deva, who is the Managing Director of TCI, is also on this call. Debashish Nandi, who is the Group CFO for the Thomas Cook Group. Brijesh Modi, who is the CFO for Thomas Cook India, and Abraham Allapart, who heads up marketing as well as investor relations at Thomas Cook India. Let me sort of go straight with my opening comments, and thereafter we'll leave it to Debashish, Mahesh, and the rest of the team to first provide you with the necessary answers to your questions and clarifications that may be required. So I think the first point I want to reiterate is the fact that I want to clarify regarding the ownership of Thomas Cook India Limited. I'm sure many of you know that in the year 2012, Thomas Cook PLC sold Thomas Cook India Limited at the time because they were facing certain financial problems and sold us to Fairfax Financial Holdings. Fairfax Financial Holdings has held us since 2012 as a majority shareholder, today owns 67-odd% of Thomas Cook India Limited, and made us a holding company, which actually allowed us to make the necessary acquisitions in the seven-year period starting August 2012. As far as the relationship between Thomas Cook India Limited and Thomas Cook India Group and Thomas Cook PLC, Thomas Cook India by itself never had any business relationship with Thomas Cook PLC. However, TCI, through its brand Sita, did have a relationship with Thomas Cook PLC till about a year and a half ago. As on date, the only financial transaction between Thomas Cook India and Thomas Cook PLC is the brand license fee of approximately 2 crores that we pay every year. There are no receivables, and I'd like to reiterate that there is no other business relationship between us. A second point I want to point out is the fact that if you look at our balance sheet as of June 30th, you will note that we had a significant amount of cash sitting on our balance sheet. So let me just sort of take you through this number. So if I look at cash and cash equivalents at a consolidated level, we had 1,389 crores, and we had debt of 348 crores. Therefore, the net cash position at a consolidated level is 1,050 crores. If I look at the standalone entity, Thomas Cook India Limited, the cash and cash equivalents was 939 crores or 940 crores with no outstanding debt. If you look at these numbers and compare them to the March 31st number, you will note that there has been a significant improvement in the cash position. And while this can be attributed to the fact that, you know, we have the outbound season, which allows us to collect cash, at the B2C businesses collect cash and their payments are made over a period of time. And while this number can go through some changes, I can assure you that our cash position, be it at a consolidated level or at a net position level, will never drop below 900 crores. A third point which I want to make is the incident relating to one of our competitors, Cox & Kings. As you are aware, they have been in the news over the last 45 days for a variety of cash liquidity-related problems that they faced. We have absolutely no clarity on what their numbers look like, and you know, all we do know is that they've got a significant amount of debt and possibly other items on their balance sheet, which are a great cause of concern to us, and therefore I'd like to state absolutely that we have no interest in even examining this particular company, simply because we believe that acquiring a company like this, in the absence of any clarity or numbers, will make it difficult for us to value the company. And secondly, our belief is that you're only buying debt and a brand that has already been damaged due to the various defaults and the multiple banking relationships that they have. So, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to clarify, we have no interest in Cox & Kings, and therefore I would leave it at that. And, you know, I'm reiterating all these points because we've seen a lot of speculation over the last 45 days about our relationship to Thomas Cook PLC, about the fact as to how strong our balance sheet is, and lastly about Cox & Kings. So with that, I will end my statement. I'm going to hand over to Mahesh and to make some comments before we move into questions.
Thanks, Madhavan. So quickly to take you through a summary of our operating performances, and I think I'd like to draw your attention to the standalone performance to begin with. You would have seen that in our press notes we mentioned this was one of the most turbulent quarters that we've seen witnessed in the hospitality industry, or more important, the travel industry, for a long time. Twin events, one, the going down of Jet Airways, that happened somewhere around the 27th of April 2019, followed by the Easter attacks in Sri Lanka, that happened in May of 2019. Both these events had an impact on our business, and just to kind of clarify as to how those impacts panned out for us, you'll appreciate the fact that April to June is the peak of our holiday or outbound holiday season. We do pick up inventories, and Jet Airways, as you know, operated 119 aircrafts, and the segments that they operate, more importantly into the European market, which is about 70% of our portfolio during this period, comprises of two large hubs, which is Amsterdam and London. We had both organized in SOTC and Thomas Cook, both the brands that we operate on this space, had inventory on them. And those inventories were booked at a price, and we had issued tickets for the customer on them. Clearly, you will appreciate the fact that for customers who have booked with us in April starting October till about April, and when an airline goes down and you are carrying an inventory on them, and that air ticket is no more valid, you are actually required to go out and pick up other airline tickets to service the requirement of the customer. Now, on account of that, we ended up paying a higher airfare, as you will appreciate that airfare during the period of May and June spoofed a lot. Actually, there was about 40% hike in airline fares, and which was witnessed also in the domestic market, because a lot of aircraft that they operated in this market also went off ground. So clearly, the impact of that has kind of resulted into impact on the standalone numbers to the extent of about 51 million rupees. The attack on Lanka, where we operate both the inbound business to our brand Luxasia, which caters to our outbound traffic from India, as well as inbound traffic from the rest of the world, and the foreign exchange business, had a huge impact. We actually saw our bookings dip by 70% for the period of May and June, and on the foreign exchange side, we saw about 45% dip in volumes that we would normally do in this market. So clearly, the twin impact of these two took off roughly about 7.5 crores from the standalone numbers. And to add to that, the impact of Ind AS 116 on a standalone basis had an impact of about 1.3 crores. So collectively, we see an impact of roughly 8.5 crores that's come and sat into this overall numbers, and that explains the reason why we are looking at a flat growth. What I would like to highlight here, that despite this flat PAT that you're looking at here, there are some silver linings. In fact, the foreign exchange business had a very good run, and we will see that in the segmental results, and I'll talk about that in a bit when there are questions around it. We had a very strong run on the foreign exchange business, more importantly driven both by the retail and the wholesale business. In fact, our card portfolio really fired very well, and our penetration on the card portfolio actually improved this quarter from about 76% to 78%, and we are now nearing to almost close to 80%, which is a very strong sign, building a sustainable portfolio on this piece. We also had strong performance coming from our corporate travel business, which is the B2B side of the travel, and not only higher volumes, but our yields also improved, considering the fact that we were doing higher throughput, obviously aided by the fact that we had higher airline fares. So obviously that did help us, and obviously the segments that we sold was also much higher. The MICE, which is again a B2B business, saw very robust growth. Overall, we had about 13% growth on the MICE top line sales, and our margins continue to hold good on that business. So, and you will appreciate the fact that we had the cricketing event that concluded in the month of June. So clearly that kind of spiked volumes during this period. So we had a good run on the three businesses, which is foreign exchange, MICE and corporate travel. The outbound did take an impact of the airline going out of business and the impact on Sri Lanka business. Other than that, I think overall on a standalone basis, we had a fairly decent quarter. And despite these challenges, we managed to hold our ground and get to a number which is very similar to what we reported last year. And as Madhavan emphasized, our focus has been on conserving capital, and our cash and bank balance actually improved from our position on March to June. Looking forward, we said that we anticipate a bit of a headwind coming into this industry. There is a general economic slowdown that we are witnessing across the board. We have customers or industries that we operate in, which is automobiles, paints, FMCGs. We operate into the financial services sector, and I'm sure all of you all read this more than what we do. There is this message around slowdown. The economic impact of that's coming into play. We have witnessed a slowdown into our forward bookings also. What we used to look at about 20-odd% that we spoke about early May is now beginning to wane off. We are now actually looking at about 9-10% growth. This impact of slowdown is visible into our forward bookings also. So we remain cautiously optimistic. There are green shoots of some parts available in some parts of the business. Obviously, a part of the competition getting out of the business gives an opportunity for us to go down and milk that segment, but that's something when we do our summer launch in September of 2019, we'll actually go back and look at that segment. In the immediate future, we see an impact on the yields, and we have an opportunity to kind of improve our yields in both on the corporate travel side, on the leisure side, and also on the MICE side, because the competition being squeezed for capital, we have a lot of customers talking to us, and we are nitpicking the customers that we want to work with. So we remain cautiously optimistic about it, but I just want to give a message saying that we are seeing the impact of some amount of slowdown that's beginning to show into our forward bookings also. Devashish, you want to take on the consolidated numbers?
Yeah, sure. Good afternoon. This is Devashish here. So Mahesh has taken you through the overall business environment and the results of Thomas Cook India. I'll now quickly take the next few minutes to take you through the comparable numbers at a consolidated level. So our total income from operations grew by about 5.5% from 2,100 crores to about 2,216 crores. At the EBITDA level, it was fairly flat. It moved from about 98.6 to 99.4. So, and the margins, EBITDA margins remained more or less steady. At a PBT level, you'll see some switch arounds in the depreciation interest line primarily because there's a reclass effect of Ind AS 116. At a PBT level, we degrew from 65 crores to about 42 crores, and I will come to some of that. Some of that explanation has been given by Manish already, and I will talk a little bit more a little later. In terms of, if you look at the segment results, we have had a very good quarter as far as financial service or the forex business is concerned. It grew by 11%. The revenues grew by 11% from 73 crores to 81 crores. The travel businesses grew about 5.2% from 1938 crores to 2039 crores. And vacation ownership with Sterling business grew by about 8.7% in the same period. DEI, which is not in the comparable results, but it's there in the reported, achieved a turnover of 117 crores during the quarter. There is no comparable number. We did the acquisition, as you know, on 31st of March of this year. In terms of EBITs, financial services or the forex EBIT grew by 47%. It went up from 24 crores last year to 35.5 crores. So that's a very impressive increase that we have had. And clearly the strategy that Mahesh has been talking about in the earlier conference calls has been paying off. The travel and the related services actually went down by about 20%, 21%. That's primarily, and let me spend just 2 minutes on that. I think this is a low quarter as far as the inbound business and the DMS business is concerned. These are, between the two, this is a large business. It's annualized revenue or annualized turnover from these two businesses is about 2,000 crores. And April to June is a low quarter for this business. So this is a time when they run into losses, and the losses of the inbound business is being offset against the profits from the other parts. So while the other segments within this or sub-segments within this have been profitable, the sheen has been taken away by the impact of these businesses. Now, on the vacation ownership, which is Sterling, which is EBIT went down from about the losses went down at a EBIT level at a 5.8 crores to 4.7, but that's largely due to the impact of the Ind AS. If you look at the PBT level, post adjustment for Ind AS, Sterling remained at the same level as last year, which is around 8.5 crores. So I will just talk a bit more about the travel segments. So in terms of travel segments, the outbound business, which was we delivered a turnover of 1125 crore this year, which represents roughly about a 6-7% growth over last year. The growth was higher in the Thomas Cook segment, and Thomas Cook spend a little muted in SOTC. The two brands had different sort of pulls in the same period. We talked about the inbound. The inbound business actually, the sales reduced from 66 crores to 60 crores. That's primarily because the charter, little fall in the charter business from Russia, and also one particular client whose business we did not get this year. In case of MICE, the overall business across the two brands went up from 400 to 421 crores from 375 crores. That's a growth of about 12%. Corporate travel delivered an impressive increase in revenue to 42 crores, which is 42.7 crores, a 31% increase from last year. This, by the way, also includes 1.1 crore on account of ACIS benefits. And the DMS business turnover grew by about 14% to about 397 crores during this period. That's a snapshot of the quarter. I would like to open up this meeting to any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Anuj Jain from Glow Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Sir, I just want to know the status of our demerger which we are going to with Westcorp. Can you give some clarity over that? When we are going to complete that?
Okay. So the current status is that, as you know, the matter is already in the NCLT. The NCLT has asked us to convene a shareholders meeting, which is scheduled on the 4th of September for Thomas Cook. So post that, once that they have also allowed us to dispense off with the creditors meeting, which means the shareholders meeting is the only meeting that we need to do. Once we get the formal approval from the shareholders at the NCLT convened meeting, we go back to NCLT and await their, you know, await the closure of the proceedings. So in short, we expect the matter to close within the month of October, within two months from the time of the shareholders meeting.
Okay.
Parallelly,
okay.
Quest is having a shareholders meeting. I think it's tomorrow. And they would also complete the similar process in the Bangalore NCLT.
Okay, so we don't require any other approval apart from shareholder approval?
No, we don't really need any other approval. You have to go back to ROC, etc., as and when directed by the NCLT, but that's part of the NCLT process. It's a question of time. It doesn't really take,
My next question, sir, like we hold, Thomas Cook holds 48% in Questcorp. So that is our associate company. So do we have the effect of the results, the impact of the Questcorp results in the consolidated one? Or we don't count that those results into the consolidated results?
So we do take that. We have to take, you know, we hold 49% in Quest, and we do have to take the impact of that in our results. But you know, if you look at the consolidated results, share of profit, if you take item number 8 on that, which is the share of profit of associates.
Yeah, it's 4 crore.
I'm sorry?
It's 4 crore figure, 4.5 something.
4.3 crores is the amount that's there.
Okay, that is of Questcorp.
That is Questcorp.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. That is from my side.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and 1. We have a next question from the line of Mr. Rohit Poti, Marshmallow Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and thank you for all the comments in the beginning. They were quite helpful. So my first question is on Sterling. So, I mean, as I can see, this quarter has been an outlier on the operational indicators. We have average unit realization going up, resort occupancy going up quite steeply from 60-odd% to 80-odd%. The ARRs are up quite well. And then we have a little higher, the room numbers also higher. But despite that, the numbers don't look do justice. I mean, the profit and loss numbers don't seem to indicate, seem to reflect the positivity in the operational indicators. Is it possible for you to share the cash flow numbers? Are they substantially better this time around?
I don't have the cash flow numbers of Sterling available with me right away. But I will get back to you on that one. Having said that, you see, there are two distinct segments within the Sterling business. One is the timeshare business and the other is the what they call the resort operations, so basically renting out of rooms as in a hospital, as a hotel would do. So the higher occupancy that you see, 82% in this particular quarter, as opposed to actually 77 last year, same quarter, is on account of the, you know, this is the holiday season obviously, and that is causing an uptick. But a lot of that is happening on account of renting out of rooms to third parties. The growth in the timeshare part of the segment is still muted, but for the first time in the last 4 quarters, we saw an increase year on year increase the number of memberships. So they added about 782 members during this quarter. So which is better than the, you know, better, much better than what was happening in the past. But so one part of the business is has sort of kicking in, and that's what is helping it to sort of showing some improvement in the results. The timeshare part hasn't kicked in, and therefore we don't see an uptick in the business. Having said that, you also know that increasingly Sterling would move away from the timeshare model and move more and more into a B2B and a B2C hospitality model.
Understood. And is Sterling self-sustaining right now?
Yes, we do. It doesn't need any cash. It has a negligible debt, debts of about 70 crores, which they're repaying over a period of time. So they are self-sustaining. Their cash flows are enough to manage the operations. They do not need any support from Thomas Cook.
And I think a lot of their debt is in the form of securitization.
Okay, understood. That's helpful. And the next question, this particular figure that we share is quite helpful. The free cash flow figure of around 250 crore that we generate annually that you share with us. Now, the question I have around that is that I think over the last 3 to 4 years, this number has broadly remained steady. But if I see operationally or qualitatively over the last 3-4 years, you've been mentioning how, I mean, we have done a few acquisitions which have been turning around, the DMSS being the example. Then we have the loss-making business of internet, I mean, the e-business as well as the domestic, which is turning around. So with a lot of positive movement qualitatively in most of the segments that we operate in, despite that, the free cash flow number has broadly remained stagnant. So could you help me understand why it's not increased?
Sure. So you see, what happens is when we started, we embarked upon the cash flow journey. Obviously, we attacked the low-hanging fruits, which are in the nature of improvements or optimization of working capital. So we set about how to improve our debtors position, how to manage our payables position better, use instruments, not by deferring payments, but by using instruments to pay our creditors, and also reducing the cash holding that is there in the forex business, which is the inventory for the forex business. Now, that since those were not looked at previously, that started giving us a lot of yields in initial years. So a better part, in the first few years, a better part of the free cash flow came in from working capital improvements. As we progressed on this journey, obviously, the improvements in working capital, the opportunities for improvement in working capital are getting more limited, and the bigger part is started coming from the profits of the business, which is why it is more of a coincidence that things have sort of balanced out in the 200 to 50 crore range, and which looks like stagnation to an outsider. But if you look at the composition, it actually we see an improvement, because what's more important in the cash flow journey is how much of that cash flow comes in from the profits rather than looking at the overall number. So today, a bigger part is coming in from the profits as compared to what it was when we started this journey. And we expect that to grow.
Okay, understood. And could you speak to the profitability of the incubated businesses? How are they progressing? The DMS, the e-business, and the domestic business?
Okay, so on the DMS side, on the DMS side, again, as I mentioned right in the beginning, it's a low quarter for DMS. It's comparable to the inbound business that we have. The nature of the business is the same. And for the DMS business, which caters mostly to the European market, the bigger quarter is the July-September and the subsequent quarter, which is when the European holidays happen. So this is a quarter where their turnover did increase because of expansion in the business, but the profitability was muted. There was a drop in the mice business, which is more like a timing mice business in that segment in the within DMS, which is more like a timing issue, and consequently, while the turnover grew by about 14%, as I mentioned, the profitability did not.
No, it's not the quarterly numbers that, that's okay, that's absolutely fine, I understand it's a new quarter. So I'm just wondering, on an annualized basis going forward, do you see it generating cash
free cash this year onwards, or do you think it will extend into the next year? I mean, DMS as a business contributing to the free cash flow of the business.
We expect the DMS business to be at break-even for the financial for the current financial year. It will probably generate a small amount of cash, but I don't think the generation of cash at this stage will be substantial. These businesses work on very low working capital, so the cash flow will come primarily out of profit. So we expect the cash flows, first cash flows to really come out, substantial cash flows to come out from FY21 and not the current year, which is FY20.
And similarly, could you give the details on domestic and e-business as well?
Okay, on the e-business is part of the overall Thomas Cook entity. So e-business is, we expect the e-business to turn around this year and sort of achieve break-even. Domestic will, as we mentioned in the last call, will probably take a little more time because this year, the summer season, which is one of the key seasons for the domestic business, we did see airfares shooting up substantially, and that did deter people from taking domestic holidays. So the growth in the domestic portion was more muted.
Got it. So this is the last question from me. So the free cash flow number of 250 crore that you talk about is inclusive of the cash that is taken in by DMS, e-business and domestic.
Yeah, of course. And just to fill you in on the DEI portion, which we did not mention, which is the last acquisition that he made. So this is the first quarter. Again, for DEI, this is a low season because a large portion of the business comes in from the Middle East. And because of Ramadan and summer, this is not the tourism season over there. So we even then they delivered about 118 crores of turnover there. In terms of, let me just talk about a few operating parameters there. In terms of number of transactions, they did about 1.2 million transactions against 0.9 million transactions last year, same quarter. The number of sites they operated in went up to 226 from 192 last year. Therefore, the average realization was fairly similar to last year. Last year, they did an average realization of $18 per click against about $16. The reduction is attributable to the opening up of new sites and consequently, when you open up a new site, you need to offer some promotional packages, etc., which reduces the initial average realization. But you can see from the volume growth, the business is on the uptick. The second half of the year, the second half of the calendar year is actually better for them. So we expect to show the growth, etc., in the next 6 months' time.
Understood. Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. We have the next question from the line of Abhijit Akela from IIFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Just a few clarifications I wanted to seek. One is on the cash and bank balances, which you spoke about at the beginning of the call. So the the net cash figure that I got is about 1,050 crores right now in June. Could you just give us the comparable number as of March as well?
Give me a minute, Abhijit. I think it was about 850, but let me just I've got the number. So it was 800 and net debt was 849.
Yeah. Net cash was 849 as of March, and now it's about 1,050.
1,050, right.
Right. So about 200 crores we've added during the quarter.
Yeah.
You say this is kind of in line with what you normally see during 1Q, or has this been a bit better than you would normally see?
So it also depends a bit on the seasonality. March and June are not really comparable, as you know. So it's good to have that attrition, but I would not say that we'll add 200 crores every quarter. I would not go to that conclusion, Abhijit. This is also the peak season. We'll also have to make supplier payments, etc. So it will go down. Madhavan said that. But he also mentioned that at any point of time, the overall cash balance will not go down below 800 crores. So we go by that guidance.
Sure. Second, on DEI, would it be possible to share the 1Q numbers of last year that they reported in terms of revenues and earnings?
I don't have it right now, Abhijit. We'll probably have a separate one-on-one later. Okay, we did not, it's not part of the reported results and therefore we don't have it right now.
Okay, sure. And on the Ind AS 116 impact, if it's possible for you to just help us understand, how much was the increase in EBITDA because of that versus how much was the increase in D&A and finance cost?
Yeah, so at an overall level, the depreciation charge on account of Ind AS went up by about 14.7 crores to be precise. The increase in interest, the change in interest charge was about 4.6. Both of these were positives. Both of these were increases. The savings in lease rental expenses were about 16.7. Overall, the gap that opened up was about 2.6 crores. The net impact of PBT.
Got it. Very, very helpful. One last thing, quick thing for Mahesh, maybe, and I'll come back in the queue. Mahesh, just on the Forex business, there's been this new website called, I think, FX Retail, which has been started by, the government, the clearing corporation. And there's been talk that it might make it much easier for individuals and small businesses to transact directly at very low cost. So do you see this as a potential threat to your Forex business? And what are your thoughts on this move in general?
So, Abhijit, honestly, I don't see that as a threat at all. And I think we must read that circular a lot more carefully. It actually opens up the window for exporters and importers. And that's where, you're talking about transactions which run into a few hundred thousand dollars and stuff like that. If you look at the retail transaction, we are talking about $500 to $1,000. And as you will appreciate that in the retail business, KYC norms are very, very stricter, and you need to have a vetting signature, and you are then dependent on a bank to do the ultimate fulfillment, which is currently the platform as it stands, and our understanding is that it's going to be fulfilled out of a bank, while clearing corporation will facilitate a platform, final fulfillment is going to happen out of a bank. You'll appreciate that a lot of banks do not deal with currency notes. We are the largest consolidator of currency notes in this part of the world. So clearly, banks depend on us to get the currency notes, so I actually see an opportunity. Honestly, to be very, very frank, a lot of, I didn't want to call them black marketers, but a lot of mom and pop shops who actually operate in this space may actually find it very difficult to operate. But let's understand this. As a retail customer, would you want to block a rate somewhere and then be told by the banker, go to this branch, maybe 10 kilometers away, and then pick up that currency? It may not happen. So I really don't see this as any threat. But clearly, from an opportunity point of view, we will put in our bid to be a part of that clearing corporation site, because we also see that as an opportunity, because if there are customers coming onto that platform, I will also bid. And honestly, there are no free lunches here. These are prices which are parity to market prices, and I really see that as an opportunity for a good level playing field to come in. And I'll appreciate more operators who've got some backing to be on that platform rather than to deal with some of the mom and pop shops, which currently in kind of mushroom some of the trades that happen in some pockets.
That's great. Thanks a lot, Mahesh. Very helpful. Mostly, we can go ahead with the next question, please.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sarvajit Bodas from Equity Master. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. My first question is related to Sri Lanka business. So do you see any signs of pickup after the terror attacks which happened in April? So how is the business is normalizing now? Could you please show some?
Sarvajit, a little too early to say that we are starting to see normalcy. But yes, I can say that the kind of curfew and tension that we saw in the month of May and June have started to wane off a little. Life is getting to a bit of a normalcy. Please understand that it takes a little bit time for customer confidence to come back to kind of travel into that market, because you don't want to be getting into a country where there are gun-wielding cops or security forces pointing guns at you and checking you four times over, right from the time you get out of the aircraft to get out of the airport, and then at every point you are checked three times over. So clearly that doesn't augur very well for a experiential bit of business that we are in. So it's going to take some time. Our belief is that it's not going to happen so quickly. But yes, the 70% drop that we saw in May and June has now kind of steadily improved slightly. We are now talking about... Sorry, I think there was a disturbance. So I think we are saying now on the travel side, we are seeing that degrowth has reduced from about 70 to about 50. And on the forex side, actually, the traffic is out of the airport. So it's going to be a function of how tourists start coming in. A little too early to predict that number. It's really going to be. So tourism as a market in that space has actually taken a beating. We've seen a 15% degrowth in the overall traffic that came into that country. So it'll take a little. My guess is that it's somewhere around December. That's the last quarter of calendar year 19 is when we should potentially see some uptick that can happen in that market.
Sarvajit, let me just, Madhavan Menon here, let me just add that the Sri Lankan government is going out of its way to promote the destination. If you check the system, you'll see that they're offering very attractive rates. In fact, we've launched a package. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's $130 for 4 nights, which is unheard of even within India. So, and you're talking of prime accommodation. You're not talking of one star or two star. So our belief is that as we go on through the promotion, they will actually pick up traffic. We are also privy to information that there has been a decline in cancellations that they're receiving from the world over for the period September through December. So my expectation is that there will be some rejuvenation in that market in the short term.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That is helpful. And so second question is on sterling. So Mr. Devashish mentioned moving towards B2B and B2C model. So could you highlight some about the model and why you are not focusing on timeshare?
So, Sarvajit,
do you want me to answer?
Yeah, fine.
Okay, let me take that question, Sarvajit. I sit on the board, so I most probably enlighten you a little more on that. It's not that we are dropping the vacation model at all. It's just that given the change in the accounting standards that we saw a year ago, that required us to remodel our products, and those are slowly getting launched into the market. We are also may have got several initiatives to try and ramp up the vacation ownership model. But you'll appreciate that the demand on domestic holidays, especially hotels, has grown significantly over the last couple of years. And there clearly is an opportunity which Sterling is riding on and therefore is able to post the higher occupancy as well as meet the higher ARR that they're able to generate. So in my opinion, they're looking at a mixed model, but the opportunity lies in hotel sales and they'll continue to capitalize on that.
Okay. So thank you.
Mohsen, I think you can take the next call, please.
Thank you. We have the next question to the line of Mr. Mohit Khanna from Future Generali. Please go ahead.
Hello, guys. I don't know if you have already commented on it. How are you seeing the market being opened up after a big player, the competitor, has shut the shop? And do you see the traction on the revenue front, or do you see more of it on the margin front? If you could just talk a little bit about it. Thank you.
So, Mohit, I think it's very early days. We are barely 40 days into since the first default. I think customers, be it retail as well as corporate, are still figuring out what is going on in terms of the default on the part of the company. My belief is that we will start seeing traction a little quicker in the corporate side, where we have received feelers from various corporates. And you'll appreciate where, we would want to be careful in this space by picking and choosing corporates who are willing to pay the margins that we are looking at. As far as the retail side is concerned, I think we will start seeing the first signs in the period September to December, which is around both the Diwali as well as the other holidays in the festive season. So my expectation is that we will see some inquiries coming in at that stage. But this is, it's too early, very honestly, to predict this thing. But just to go back to your question, I think let me just sort of answer it in a different manner. The minute we heard about the defaults, we actually focused on two things which Mahesh alluded to earlier. One is yield management. So we pulled out all discounts from the market, both at an SOTC as well as a Thomas Cook level. Simultaneously, we also went out from a perspective of conserving our capital. We started cutting credit lines to our customers in various segments. I mean, while we've retained the credit norms for the best company, but in reality, we are examining credit terms for anything and everything that we offer to both corporates as well as our vendor, as well as our channel partners. We're making sure that we, focus and diligently look at that to ensure that we don't suffer from any impact, the collateral impact. You'll appreciate with Jet Airways stopping and a major competitor stopping, the ripple effect in the travel industry is going to exist, and therefore we are braced for that and we are watching it very carefully.
Fair enough. I just had a view that with the competition going down, sooner or later this should turn out to be in our favor, because there's and on the other hand, eBix seems to be very aggressive, acquiring companies, setting up shops and trying to introduce different models after they bought Yatra.com recently. So anything on that front, any comment or any competition that you're seeing or that would be
helpful? So Mohit, let me go back to your first statement. I share your view that things should happen, but what I told you was that it's too early to see any signs of it as yet. We expect it to happen, but I think I will wait and watch as to how this is exactly going to happen. We believe that corporate customers will switch. We believe that retail customers will also switch, and we will ride that hopefully on higher margins. On the issue of eBix, very honestly, I don't understand enough of what they're trying to achieve. And it would be unfair for me to sort of comment on their strategy. I do agree with you that they've been aggressive, but I will only comment on the fact that they bought a whole lot of diverse businesses, and it'll be interesting to see as to how they will either integrate or string a needle through each of these businesses to make them work together. We're waiting and watching. But if you look at... If I can just add one more point, if you look at the foreign exchange business, ever since they started buying competition more than a year ago, we've actually seen our volumes grow during that period, and we've seen and our margins grow also. So we've not really seen any impact of the presence of eBix companies in our space in terms of competing with us directly.
Okay. Also, just the last thing. So we have this shareholder meeting by NCLT and then the extraordinary meeting lined up quickly coming up. So what happens after this? What's the process after this? And are we still sticking to the timeline for the demerger here?
So we will submit the approvals. There is a process which requires us to inform the Reserve Bank of India, SEBI, and then go back to the NCLT with the necessary results. Our expectation is that it should happen sometime at the end of October or early November, but not much later than that. That's the timeline that we are working on currently. And I believe Quess is following a parallel pipeline, timeline with us, because they're running their approval through the Bangalore NCLT.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of GC Rajesh from Banyan Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions on the travel services group. If you can speak to, you know, the size of the market as you see it, and what's your market share in that?
So, hi, this is Mahesh. Let me put it slightly differently. Look, the space that we operate in is the more organized segment. And over there, you know, when we acquired the assets from Q&E, which is more importantly SOTC, we had done a survey around the market and we took some KASAI data, which you'll appreciate the fact that we had to go through a CCI process at that point in time. The combined market share of all organized players put together was less than 5%. Yeah. But if you were to only compare with the organized player space and the space that we actually play in, I think we will be closer to about 50% of the market. The two brands put together will be close to 50% of the market. And as we have been discussing in the call before, with the exit or probably a nearby exit of a close competition, I think we will actually emerge far more stronger in terms of market share.
Right. So that's exactly where I was going with it, because if your second largest competitor is imploding, I'm just curious why you are thinking that will take some time. Agree, there is a slowdown, but is there something else you are seeing in the marketplace which makes you so, so cautious about the opportunity that we have in front of us?
So the point here is slightly different. What we are trying to say here, Rajesh, is that you know, we don't know how things will pan out. You know, just to put a case in point, when we were talking to the market before in May, we actually were looking at our forward bookings right through December, spreading at about 20% growth. While I'm looking at now, we are actually looking at about 10% growth. So clearly what has happened in a span of about 4 or 6 weeks, we're actually seeing the forward bookings numbers starting to taper off. That also senses or tells us that the consumer confidence is a little low. Now, while a competition going out of the business will mean there will be an opportunity for us to increase our yields and everything else, but if the consumer sentiments are generally low, the market is not going to grow. Yeah, so there is going to be a challenge underlying it. We may see a volume spike, but that may be very temporary. So I'm talking market share, and that will be a more conscious, concerted effort, which will take some time. Too early to make that judgment call at this point, because as Madhavan said before, we've just seen about 40-45 days for that event, so we really don't know what's it. We're not going with an hypothesis the company is down and under. There could be a hope, there could be a revival, and we don't know what's happening behind the scenes. So clearly we are watching that space. We are capitalizing on the opportunity that comes in front of us, both in terms of launching new products, getting across to the segments, more importantly the B2B side of it, and focusing on yield management, which is what the opportunity currently we see. But if there are more opportunities coming there, obviously we're going to go with all arms open.
Great, that's helpful. And then the second question, you know, the Sterling business had a phenomenal quarter, and congratulations on that. So is it something seasonal, or that business is now on this wonderful, you know, run rate where every metric is looking so positive?
So you are right, Sterling, the Sterling business looked much better than the other quarter, the previous quarter, because there is a seasonality impact. This is the summer season, the peak season for domestic travel as well as outbound, and therefore Sterling did get advantage of that. But some of it can also be attributed to the fact that the strategy on becoming a hospitality company is seeming you know, is working out in one form or the other. So that's definitely there. I cannot say for sure whether you will see the, you know, same amount of volume in the next quarter. But yeah, things are getting better over there. But I think it will still take some time for the company to get back into profitability.
I see. And what kind of synergies do you see between Sterling and our core travel business? And how do you sort of monitor that?
So I think right at the outset, I think I must make the statement that we did not invest on Sterling based on synergies. In fact, none of our acquisitions are based on synergy. Synergies is an additional thing. We invest in business based on how they are and what values they are available. Having said that, there are synergies between, clear synergies between Thomas Cook's travel business and Sterling, because we can offer domestic packages to our travelers based on availability of rooms in Sterling. So there are clear synergies, and as the number of units or number of resorts available in Sterling grows, the synergies will get even stronger.
So do you track that, you know, X percent of the revenue of Sterling came from, you know, Thomas Cook companies? Is there a metric like that?
I won't say that, because our transactions are completely at arm's length. Okay, so they sell rooms to us at the same price that they what they sell to other to our competitors, like Make My Trip, for example. So we make our share of the margin in that, and they make their share of the margin. So I won't attribute an extra margin on account of being associated with Thomas Cook. Yes, but we do provide them a channel to sell.
Right. So what is that percentage in terms of channel?
I don't think we have the data right now, and it's not likely to be a very, very significant part.
I see. And lastly, you talked about having a net cash of, I think you said 1,100 crores or something, or 1050, excuse me.
Net cash.
So net cash is 1050. And my question is that how much of that is the customer deposits which are sitting with you? So if you back out, what is the real number of net cash, and what was the same number in the March end?
So there will always be some element of customer cash in there, which will, and March numbers, as I said in my in the earlier answer, are not comparable to June numbers, because the March number June numbers would have significantly more amount of customer advances which are awaiting payment to suppliers. So these numbers are not really comparable. Having said that, I think you know, obviously the 1,050 crores of cash involves customer advances. It includes the float. Includes the float that we have on the fixed deposit made out of the float on the BPC or the card BPC card. So there are multiple things included in there.
Right. So I was just trying to understand that there is certain cash that belongs to the customer, which is sitting with us, and then there is actual cash which is belonging to us. So if you were to look at this pie of, you know, 1,000 plus crores, how much is really belonging to the customer if you aggregate whatever you were just describing, these different pockets?
So I think you can't ascribe it to customer. If your question is, I think you're trying to ask me what is the free cash available with the company and not the customer cash.
Yes, exactly. That's right.
I'm just trying to get the terminology sorted out a bit. So the free cash available to us is around 100 crores.
100 crores. Okay.
Yeah, close to about 100 crores.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one for asking a question. We have the next question from the line of Anuj Jain from Glow Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Jain, please go ahead. There is no response on the line of Mr. Jain. We'll move on to the next question. Mr. Ritik Shade from One Up Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on the debt part, cash and the debt part with the previous participant asked. You mentioned that free cash available to us is 100 crores. So, hello?
Yeah.
So technically our net debt would be around 250 crores. Is that the right way to take it?
No, I don't get the calculation actually.
No, I think...
So the gross debt is 350 crores. Cash and equivalents, you mentioned that it's 1390 crores. So out of the 1390 crores, free cash available to us is 100 crores. So if I just take the free cash available to us at 100 crores and the gross debt at 350 crores,
Let me explain it in my way, okay? I think the numbers are a bit mixed up in this.
Sure.
So you are quite right that the cash and cash equivalent is about 1390 crores or close to 1400 crores, well, you know, very broadly speaking, and about 338 crores is the debt. So the resultant number
is the net debt is a negative net debt, which means
right.
that's a cash available, right?
Sure.
Okay. Now, part of that, obviously, now you have to go back to the gross number to understand this.
Mm-hmm.
So, out of the 1400 crores are close to that number, 1400 crores that are there, about 100 crores is something that is free cash. That's what
okay.
you mentioned.
Sure.
The balance composed of various things. But it's a large portion of that comes from the float that we have. You are aware that we have a prepaid card.
Right.
So
yeah.
the float on that card constitutes a large portion, and that's the growing component because each year we keep on adding customers and customers to our kitty. And that is the money that's lying in, you know, in various currencies in across various accounts in terms of in fixed deposit, etc.
Right.
Okay. Part of the money would also be in the form of customer advances, but this will also be set off to some extent by the advances that we pay off to vendors. So it's a mixed bag.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Customer advances are just like we receive advances from customers. We also lock up our money in terms of various payments, that prepayments or advances that we make. So it's a mixed bag of all of that.
Okay.
Yeah?
So and in the last call you had mentioned that float is around $60 million. What would be right now as of June?
As of June, we are around $72 million.
Yeah.
$72 million. So that's increased around 10 odd million.
Yeah, it is
about 20%. So
yeah.
our volumes in the current quarter have gone up by about 40%. So we've added about close to 20% of that into our floats.
Okay, sure. And also the debt of 350 would be purely operational, right?
When you say operational, do you mean overdraft?
For the business and not any advances paid or...
No, it is, the debt is largely for various acquisitions, and some amount of debt is operational, which is for the entities which are not in India, for the overseas. The overseas entities need some amount of working capital. And that's in that debt constitutes part of the 350 crores.
Okay, sure. Okay, thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was our last question. I now hand the floor back to the management for closing comments.
So, thank you everybody for participating in today's call. I just sort of like to reiterate a couple of points. We will focus over the next couple of months on managing our yields, and obviously looking at a higher margin than what we operate at in all our B2C businesses. As far as corporates are concerned, we will be very selective where we give credit and therefore conserve more capital. We recognize that the markets are going through a degree of flux due to a variety of reasons, and we need to keep ourselves protected. As far as the competition is concerned, we will watch the competition very carefully, be it a competitor who is facing liquidity problems, as well as the aggressive competitor. And and we'll keep a close watch on them. And we've been doing this for a long time. So please be rest assured, we're fully aware of what is going on. And, we'll ensure this thing. I just wanted to make one point which I missed in the beginning. With the NCLT process coming to an end, the company's name change process will begin. We've got a detailed plan. We are required to return the Thomas Cook India name by the end of 2024. So we have a plan to transition out of this name. I think, we'll review this based on what will happen to Thomas Cook PLC, because I think the brand has suffered some element of damage due to the recent events. But we are fully equipped and planned and ready to go through with the change. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of IIFL Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining the conference, and you may now disconnect the lines.